Blog Talk Radio.
Evelyn, a modified dog, viewed the quivering fringe of a special doily, draped across the piano with some surprise. In the darkened room where the chairs dismayed and the horrible curtains muffled the rain, she could hardly believe her eyes. A curious breeze, a garlic breath, which sounded like a snore. Somewhere near the Steinway or even from within had caused the doily fringe to waft and tremble in the gloom. Evelyn, the dog, having undergone further modification, pondered the significance of short-person behavior in pedal-depressed, panchromatic resonance, and other highly ambient domains. Arp, she said.
Greetings and salutations, people. This is Carl's Cavern. We haven't done one of these in a while, and it is Frank Zappa's birthday on the 21st of December, and we're doing it today, a celebration of what would have been his 82nd birthday. With me today is our wonderful music guy on the show, TC. TC, glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Carl, and I've been looking forward to this one for a while because you know I'm a huge Zappa fan too. So
we don't get to
put enough Frank out there for the world to hear, but we're here tonight.
Absolutely. So TC is our guy that does Rock This Town, and I want to thank him for helping out and getting everything into the studio and that before we start. Now, what you heard was Evelyn, a Modified Dog, a nice little ditty from One Size Fits All. If you remember, TC, I used to do the piano stuff and the crazy stuff, the coffee house stuff, and that was a song I used to do a cappella, not with the piano, but a cappella. It was the only
nice
Zappa song I ever tried to do,
well,
but it's a wonderful song.
10 seconds long or something like that, so you couldn't fuck it up.
You know, I was
bad,
actually singing along with it as he was going on. I know that song like the back of my head.
So
the other thing, too, that I want to get into is I was introduced to Frank Zappa in 1972 when we moved to Bradford. And I was 14 years old. My mother was a music teacher. And the background of me growing up in that household was that I could only listen to classical music or Broadway music. And one of the ways that I basically rebelled was to love 20th Century. And then when I started listening to music, you know, you get into progressive rock and you find people that are doing classical type things, and found my way to Zappa, and I'll continue this as we go along, my little story about my mom and me, but we're going to start now with a song that's off of Chugger's Revenge. No, actually it's off of Burnt Weenie Sandwich, excuse me. And this is a nice little instrumental that I think a lot of people do not know. It's called ABC.
Thank you.
And there you go. You can't really hear the end of that, unfortunately. But
yes,
it actually goes into prepared piano at the end, where he's hitting the strings. And it's very, very soft. But that is a piece. My mother, when I grew up, I was allowed to argue my point. They wanted me to be a lawyer. They gave me like 3 attaché cases for Christmas in a row. I never was a lawyer, but I could definitely argue my point. And she wanted to throw away all my Zappas, and this was one of the pieces I played for her to say, wait a second, this guy knows classical music. And I want it. And we'll get on to this story as we go along. I'm going to pass this over to TC because I want to see what he thinks of that piece. Also, he's got to introduce the next song that we're going to be doing, which is his choice. So, TC, over to you.
Well, what's interesting about Zappa, of course, we talk about him as a composer and stuff, but and you'll hear, and I noticed, like, my whole list is pretty guitar-driven music, but Frank Zappa appreciated every instrument, and he utilized them in so many different ways, just like that one. There was no guitar in that song, you know? I mean, that was his instrument. But he just can you pick out the instruments that were in that other than the piano? What else?
There was a little
song,
bit of guitar in that, by the way. There was.
Okay.
There was a string bass in there. There was some sort of wind in there, too. I'm not sure what it was, though.
Yeah. Was there a little bit like a harpsichord or something going on in there, too? Or
No, I don't think so. It was primarily piano.
It's so fascinating to just tear down his music and see what he decided. Well, I'm going to throw this in there, and I'm going to throw that in there. And as we move along, we're going to hear more of it. But when Carl and I talked about doing this show, we went 2 different routes. I stayed near the surface for songs, almost like an introductory to Frank Zappa, or for novices that don't listen all that often, you know, it's like, wow, there's a song I haven't heard in a while. But it seems like a lot of mine are guitar-driven. And the first song I'm going to play is the title track off Joe's Garage. So go ahead, Carl.
Here we go.
It wasn't very large. There was just enough room to cram the drums in the corner over by the Dodge. It was a 54 with a mashed up door and a cheesy little lamp, with a sign on the front said Fender Champ and a second-hand guitar. It was a Stratocaster with a whammy bar. We could jam in Joe's garage. His mama was screaming, his dad was mad. We was playing the same old song in the afternoon, and sometimes we would play it all night long. It was all we knew and easy to do, so we wouldn't get it wrong. All we did was bend the string like, hey, down in Joe's garage. We didn't have no dough for LSD, but a couple of quarts of beer would fix it, so the information would not offend your ears. And the same old chords going over and over became a symphony. We could play it again and again and again, so it sounded good to me. One more time. We could jam in Joe's garage. His mama was screaming, turn it down. We were playing the same old song in the afternoon, and sometimes we were playing all night long. It was all we knew. Played it on the saxophone. We thought we was pretty good. We
talked about keeping the band together, and we figured that we should. Come about this time, we were getting the eye from the girls in the neighborhood. They'd all come over and dance around like... So we kicked out a stupid plane, had some cars printed up for a couple of bucks, and we was on our way to fame. Got matching suits and diesel boots and a sign on the back of the car, and we was ready to work in a go-go bar. They got up and danced and made a lot of noise, and it wasn't for very long. A guy from a company we can't name said we ought to take his pen and sign on the line for a real good time, but he didn't tell us when. His good time could be something that was really happening. So the band broke up, and it looks like we will never play again.
Guess you only get one chance in life to play a song that goes like...
Go ahead, TC.
I love that. Church-oriented social activities.
Yes. But, one of the things I love about that song is the juxtaposition of the 50s style and then what was then really hard rock. And
yeah.
it's amazing. Also, the instrumentation. If you listen to that first sax solo, if you listen really hard, you'll hear this other sax below it, which is a contrabass
yeah.
sax. Okay? Yeah. Contrabass, that thing's fucking huge. You have to be on a chair for that.
I know.
And you're on a chair. I'm not kidding.
Well, that's what I said about, you know, he used about every instrument in the spectrum throughout his career.
He invented
you know?
Instruments. He invented instruments. He said, seriously, I'm not joking. Yeah.
Yeah.
amazing.
I wonder if that song has any autobiographical to it.
I always wondered that. Well, the thing is, that's not the only song that really, like, posits the movement of rock and roll throughout the years. There's another one that I'm doing that also has a lot to do with it. I think maybe in a case this might be a little autobiographical, but I also think it's a real cynical take that modern music has been taken over by the corporations, and he's pining for the days where they just did it themselves, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what the song is. Yeah. And the other thing I want to just mention about that too is that the album itself is a double album, and it's really about places where music is banned, and it's about and he even says in the liner notes, you know, that, you know, he was talking about Iran at the time and Iraq, but he always felt that, you know, we could be on that level too with censorship and things like that, and that of course also brought into the PMRC and Parents Music Resource Center and that whole thing that he did in the 80s. But I did want to make that point. So anything else you want to say about Joe's Garage before we move on?
No, let's keep rolling. That was a good introduction to my mind, and I think every song that I have, Joe's Garage kind of sets a tone for them.
Not that I don't have a couple of more popular songs in my selection, but you mentioned that yours is guitar driven. Mine is more orchestral driven. And this next one is the Dwarf Nebula Processional March and Dwarf Nebula. It's really in two parts. This was another one I did for my mother. And my mother listened to the first part of it and sort of said, oh, okay, I can get that. And then the second part happened. She looked at me. She actually threw a paper cup at me and said, what the hell was that? And so here we go with Dwarf Nebula Processional March and Dwarf Nebula. This is off the Weasels Rip My Flesh album. Okay, hold on. Here we go. whole species of furry animals gathered together in a cave grooving with a Pict. This is not.
You've missed grooving with a Pict.
Okay,
you'll
never
mind. You'll never get that right, Carl. You'll never get it right. Yeah, it's funny. Like I told you when I was doing the studio work on that, and I hadn't heard that forever, you know, and I really forgot about it. And all of a sudden it started going weird and all this, and I'm like, wow, do I have a fucked up YouTube thing? And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember it's like this because there's a percussion, continuous percussion through it that makes it obvious it's not a fuck-up, you know. And
well,
I see how your mom just freaked when that all started. Is there something wrong with the record?
So the whole thing about that is that first part, I'm literally chair dancing and conducting at the same time anytime I hear that first part. But my mother heard that second part, and she just looked at me. I said, it's tape manipulation. They tape something, then play it backwards, just like Harry Parks did, just like the guy who did Ballet Mechanique did. I can't think of his name right now. And I said, this is done by modern composers. And she looked at me, all right, okay, okay, fine. She did her fine thing. So Mom,
wow.
I know you're up in heaven listening to this, and you're shaking your head like, Carl, why do you do this to people that are listening?
You know, I was just thinking, I wish your mom was alive and listening right now. Because the show's dedicated to Frank Zappa, and it's also dedicated to your mother. So
yeah,
you know, and I'm good with that. I knew your mom, you know, and I knew your dad, and I knew your whole family, and I know how classical music oriented they are, and everything, and how you brought Frank Zappa into their world must have been, you know, quite a treat for them. But
we'll get into that. What finally happened all throughout this as we go on with the show.
Yeah.
But now we're going to bring it back to you and your next piece that you
picked. I just wanted to say, if your mom could say it right now, she'd say, you know what, Carl? I get it. So, okay. We'll of course, we'll talk about that later. But my next piece is another one that, you know, novices know it. And it's called Muffin Man. And it's off the 1975 album Bongo Fury. So go ahead, Carl. Let's hear Muffin Man.
Here we go, Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man is seated at the table in the laboratory of the Utility Muffin Research Kitchen. Reaching for an oversized chrome spoon, he gathers an intimate quantity of dried muffin remnants, and brushing his scapular aside, proceeds to dump these inside of his shirt. He turns to us and speaks.
Some people like cupcakes better. I, for one, care less for them.
Arrogantly twisting the sterile canvas snoot of a fully charged icing anointment utensil, he puts forth a quarter-ounce green rosette. Try that again. He puts forth a quarter-ounce green rosette near the summit of a dense but radiant muffin of his own design. Later, he says,
Some people...
like cupcakes exclusively, while myself, I say, there is not, nor ought there be, nothing so exalted on the face of God's gray earth as that prince of foods, the muffin.
Girl, you thought it was a man, but it was a muffin. He hung around till you found that it didn't know nothing. A man, but he only was a puffin. No prize is heard in the night.
died as a result of him stopping.
Napoleon Murphy Brock on tenor sax and lead vocals, Terry Bozio on drums, Tom Fowler on bass, Denny Wally on slide, George Duke on keyboard, Captain Beefheart on vocals and soprano sax and madness. Thank you very much for coming to the concert tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. Good night, Austin, Texas, wherever you are.
Great tune.
Yeah, you know, the interesting part about that, the thing about this song is they start out with a studio recording, you know, the spoken word, and somewhere along the line it turned into a live performance and then went back to studio. Crazy part of that. And I cannot...
Well, he was really good at it.
Yeah, but I could never figure out the point where it went from studio to live, you know, until he's starting to introduce the band, which of course Captain Beefheart was on that tune.
He was amazing at those cuts. I mean, you can't tell. That's how good he was as an editor.
I know. I mean, we're in the studio and then all of a sudden we're in Austin, Texas live, you know, and then we're back to the studio. It was crazy. But I was reminded when I was doing a little research that when I saw Dweezil, Dweezil Zappa, of course, and his band Zappa Plays Zappa, when I saw them in 2010 and they played this song, they actually had a video playing of Frank, and they were playing along to the Frank video of Muffin Man. And it was so cool. you know, of course, with Sheila Gonzalez there. And,
oh,
it was just amazing. Just amazing. So,
oh, absolutely.
But then I wanted to mention somewhere along the line tonight, you know, if you missed out on Frank, don't miss out on Dweezil. He does such a phenomenal job with Frank's music. And, of course, Carlo can attest to that, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The one thing I want to say about this particular cut and his guitar playing is the phrasing. The phrasing that he uses is so smooth that you can't, it's not jagged at all. It just runs so smooth, even
sure.
in the fast part. And it's just, this is more standard in terms of harmony than some of his other solos, but his phrasing is phenomenal. So,
yeah.
So wanted to go there and just mention that.
That's kind of why, you know, we talked about the songs I picked and how they're up at the surface, but they're beautiful to revisit.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
And revisit them, and plus, you know, with our perspective, maybe, you know, people look at them differently or listen to them differently than, you know, what you're used to hearing. And just like the phrasing on the guitar, like you said, so next time you listen to it, listen to that guitar carefully. So, okay.
So now we're going to one of my only live version of a Zappa tune. This is Dog Breath. Now, this was originally on Uncle Meat, but this is a version with the vocalist Flo and Eddie from Turtles. And this is off an album called Just Another Band from L.A., which is, I think, 1970. And you want to listen to this one. This is pretty awesome. Okay, so here is Dog Breath.
Route 739, going to
And there you go. What do you think of that piece, DC?
Well, I'll tell you, it's so cool how Flo and Eddie did so much work with Frank Zappa. And, you know, people think of the Turtles and So Happy Together, like a one-hit wonder, and, you know, like the Sunshine Lollipop people of the 60s. And they were phenomenal with Zappa. Zappa just took them right in. And it's interesting how they, you know, and that was all them. You know, you could hear their voices big time in that one.
Oh, absolutely. The story was they went to the pavilion to listen to Zappa, and after the show, they went up because the Turtles had just broken up. Like, we want to play with you. And Zappa said,
yeah,
okay, I'll find something for you to do. And boy, did he ever.
Yep. He sure did.
There's another piece of mine that comes later that features them also in a more experimental sense. So we'll get to that later. I just want to mention on this tune that Zappa had a great love of the Pachuco culture. And by that, I mean the Mexican culture in L.A. You know, there were the Suzu riots in the 50s that he lived through, and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of that, but when you say Hitting on My Weasel and the Fuzzy Dice, you know, you're thinking of the Lowriders and things like that. But, you know, that's not meant in terms of a stereotype. That's meant, you know, as really a nod to their culture and very respectful. So I just wanted to make that point before we move on. Okay, so now it's time for your next tune. So tell us what we're going to listen to.
It is my next tune, and it is from 1975, One Size Fits All. And Frank Zappa wrote this song because he wrote it when he was on the 74-75 tour, because it's basically a testimony to how boring the people were on that tour. And he called them pajama people. And go ahead, and we'll talk a little bit after that, after the song.
Absolutely.
Home with you, save a dollar today. Pajama people, pajama people, people. Pull them out, get them out of my way.
Hey, 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 hey.
Oi, oi, oi. Get them out of my way. Get 'em out of my way.
Hey, 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 hey,
people cold, and some people not very swift to behold. Some people do it,
yes, they do.
Some see right through it, and some wear pajamas if only they knew it.
The pajama people are boring me to pieces. They make me feel like I am wasting my time. They all got flannel up and down the arm, a little trapdoor back around the arm, and some cozy little footies on their mind. Pajama people, pajama people, people.
Lord, they make you sleepy with the things they might say.
Pajama people, pajama people, people. I wish they'd all go away. Pajama people, pajama people special. Take one home with you and save a dollar today. Pajama people, pajama people. Wrap them up, roll them out, get them out of my way. Hoy, hoy, hoy. Wrap them up, roll them out, get them out of my way. Them up, roll them out, get them out of my way. Hoy, hoy, hoy.
And there you have it, pajama people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like I said, the 73-74 tour, he just said the people were so boring. Found an interview, real quick, I'll read it. 1975, Frank Zappa says, they were not a theater-type group. I would say that was as pretty solemn assemblage of musicians right there. It was my experience on that tour that in spite of everybody being a good musician and they all had super ability to do all those fantastic things, they were boring. In fact, I was amazed that they could even relate to each other. That's how boring they were. And he refers to people wearing pajamas as boring people. So that's where that whole song came from.
Now, you may not know this, but I was in an English class with Vince Kohler in college.
Oh, yeah.
And
Vince,
he asked us to take a song and do an essay on what the song meant. And I picked Pajama People. And the one thing that I picked up from that song, you know, the pajamas with the footies and the flap behind, who are those pajamas for? Infants. So he's talking about infantile people to me, not boring people. Though he does mention boring, but infantile. And so just wanted to point that one out.
You read it a different way. How'd Vince respond to that?
Oh, Vince agreed with me. Vince agreed with me. But you know what? He also mentions how boring they are in the lyrics. So we're both right.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Boy, he was a good guy.
Yeah, Vince was a good guy.
Yeah. Ever hear whatever happened to that guy? Ever
hear? Well, I know he passed away.
Oh, did
you? Yeah, he passed away.
All right. Okay, that was Pajama People. What do you got?
Okay, so this one is also off the tour with Captain Beefheart. The 1975 tour. This is a little song called Cucamonga. I love this because it goes in so many different ways. And this is actually about his recording studio that he had in Cucamonga. And that's where he basically was arrested for pornography because he did a tape of people simulating sex for this undercover cop. And this is all about his recording studio, Cucamonga. I love this tune.
church. There was once a place where me and a couple of friends began practicing for the time we might go.
So my mom, when I was playing her all this, she asked me to set up a teacher's guide for her, for Zappa. And she specifically said, no vocals. So I took this piece to her and I said, this is a vocal piece, but I want you to listen to it and see if you would approve it. And she listened to it and it starts out very bluesy. And I told her it sort of starts out blues. And then all that other stuff happens, and she looked at me like, what? No! Stick to the instrumentals, please!
Yeah. Well, I mean, this song right here is, I mean, you get all of Zappa. It's a short song, but you get all of Zappa in that song. You know, the instrumental of it and, you know, his lyrics and everything like that. Too bad she turned that one down.
Well, the thing is, she couldn't wrap her head around it. I remember I was conducting it for her, and she said, how can you conduct that? And I said, I can conduct it. I know exact. And she says, your brain and my brain are two different things. I can't wrap my head around it. I mean, this is... When I was 7 or 8 years old, my mom was going for her teaching certificate at Geneva College, and she had a 20th century class that she had to take in music. And I literally helped her through that class at 8 years old. You know, even then, now I'm 15 or, you know, 17, I think, at this point, and I'm so enabled, and she'd gotten me stuff, you know, 20th century stuff to listen to and so on and so forth, that she just never could get her head around how something was constructed. And that is constructed so odd. And it is,
yeah.
You're right. It's a 3-minute song, and it is, there's nobody else who would do that song but Zappa.
No.
Nobody.
No.
No.
Nobody could touch it.
So,
I don't think even Dweezil's even mess with that song at all.
No, I don't see Dweezil doing it.
No.
I'm not saying he couldn't do it, but that's just so frank.
Yeah, there's ones you just don't touch. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's one right there. But my next song that I'm doing is one that Dweezil has played. If you're ready to move to it, or
absolutely,
you
absolutely, okay, go for it.
All right, so my next one is about a state, not really, but it's off Overnight Sensation in 1973, and as you listen to it, you're going to hear some female voices in it, And Carl, you probably know what they are, but I'm not going to say who they are until after the song. This is Montana by Frank.
Actually, I think it should be subtitled Dental Floss, but you'll understand that in a moment.
Be moving to Montana soon, just to raise me up a crop of dental floss. Raising it up, waxing it down, in a little white box that I can sell uptown. By myself I wouldn't have no boss, but I'd be raising my lonely dental floss.
Raising my lonely dental floss.
Well, I just might grow me some beans, but I'd leave the sweet stuff to somebody else. But then, on the other hand, I would keep the wax and melt it down, pluck some floss and swish it around. I'd have me a crop, and it'd be on top. That's why I'm moving to Montana.
Moving to Montana soon. Gonna be a dental floss tycoon.
Yes, I am.
Moving to Montana soon.
Buy me a horse just about this big and ride him all along the borderline with a pair of heavy-duty zircon encrusted tweezers in my hand. Every other wrangler would say I was mighty grand. By myself I wouldn't have no boss, but I'd be raising my lonely dental floss.
Raising my lonely dental floss.
my tweezers gleaming in the moonlighty night. And then I get a cup of coffee and give my foot a push. Just me and the pygmy pony over by the dental floss. And then I might just jump back on and ride like a cowboy into the dawn to Montana.
I think that is my favorite Frank Zappa guitar solo. Any.
It's a great solo.
Huh.
It's also one of his top 10 songs. Seriously,
yeah.
That's a great tune.
And
so tell us, who were the backup singers? I know, but our audience.
Tell us. Okay, I'll tell them. It was Tina
Okay, go ahead.
And the Icats.
Yep.
And
yep.
Frank said, I was reading how it took them 3 days to get that back up in there, especially in the middle right after his guitar solo. They struggled with that. And
yes, they did.
Tina was so proud of what she did. Ike Turner was in the studio next door. She ran over and said, you got to come over and listen to this. She played it back, and he says, what is that shit?
Yep.
And there you have it. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay. Yeah, that middle part was real difficult for the backup singers. But, yeah, Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
It's
good flowing, Eddie.
It's a great tune. It's a great tune. And she should be proud of that, because that's a motherfucker to do.
Oh, yeah, it was, you know, I mean, if you go back and listen to it again now that you know who it is, and mm-hmm. right after Frank's solo, that was a hard, hard part. He knew it was. That's in, you know, mm-hmm. he was such a perfectionist that he wasn't an asshole perfectionist. He allowed them all the time they needed to get that right. 3 days
yeah.
in the studio for the one song, you know, but he wanted it right. And he gave them all the leash they needed. You know, he wasn't standing there saying, you got to get it right this time, you know, do whatever
yeah.
you got to do to get it right. We got all the time in the world. So
yeah,
that was cool about him. Yeah, that was, it is one of his more popular songs, but I wanted it for that guitar solo. That is why I really wanted to play that. And there you have it.
Well, you know, you talk about the guitar solo. For me, it's that middle part. Compositionally, where the hell did he come up with that? No, seriously. That's what makes him so unique. It's the blending of styles and different things that you don't expect, and these little things that he just throws in. And if you see him live, it's all with hand gestures that they know what to do.
Yeah.
And it is amazing. It is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, as we go on to my next piece, it is that this was the piece that my mom, that basically convinced my mom to do a segment for her junior high school kids to listen to Zappa. And as we listen to this, this is called revised music for guitar and low budget orchestra. This is off the orchestral. It's one of the three albums. I don't have it in front of me. I'll tell you at the end of the song which album this is from. But this is an amazing piece. And keep in mind the different styles that come up during this piece, because it starts orchestral, goes into jazz, goes into rock, goes into weirdness. Enjoy. This is revised music for guitar and low-budget orchestra. Just a little different than Montana, you say.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I mean, that song showcases his whole orchestral, you know, composing capabilities. There's just so much going on in that song, like you said. You know, it's just, it's fantastic.
It is, you have different segments and different stylisms, but you listen to that as a whole. It's not fragmented. It all fits into one piece.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, there's a beautiful flow to it.
Yeah, and the through line, and my mother even mentioned that when she first heard this, and she listened to this a couple of times. She didn't like it, but I think this was the piece that made her appreciate Zappa, at least in terms that she understood that I appreciated him for more than just the potty humor and such.
Yeah, I mean, saw him. That might have been the first time she really saw him as a composer and not just, you know, a rock star or whatever. Yeah,
right.
So
this is a guy that, you know, Pierre Boulez did a whole album of his stuff, very famous. Yeah. Zubin Mehta, also a very famous conductor. He's now being played in orchestras all across the world, and he's being taught in classical music courses in colleges all over the place. So, you know, when I say that I consider him the premier composer of the late 20th century, I'm not joking.
No.
Without it.
No, nobody, it'd be a hard argument to go against you on that.
Yeah.
Because,
So now we go to the sublime, to the sublimely silly, and we'll let you introduce your next song, because the next two are very silly.
Yeah, I'm, I actually, just realized this, but I am playing, in the eight songs I'm playing the entire second side of Overnight Sensation from 1973. Of course, there's only three songs on there. We already heard Montana was the first one I played, but this track, this is the first track of second side of Overnight Sensation, and it's called Zombie Wolf.
And here we go. Wolf. Whoop,
whoop. 300 years ago, I thought I might get some sleep. I stretched myself out on my antique bed, and my spirit did a midnight creep. We'll be right back.
great song.
Zombie Boy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. Zappa had a preoccupation with monsters, and he loved old school monsters. There's a great song called Cheapness, which I played before, and Return of the Son of the Monster Magnet, and so many others. But he had a love of old sci-fi monsters, and of course, you know, werewolves and things like that. So this is definitely a good representation of that facet of Zappa.
The interesting thing, like I said, I'm ended up playing the whole second side of Overnight Sensation, and it was Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention album. But at the same time, while he is in the studio recording this, he was also recording his solo album, Apostrophe. So they are working on both albums at the same time. This Overnight Sensation came out in the fall of 73. Apostrophe came out the spring of 74. And they're probably two of his most famous albums, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No
but
question.
One of my favorite songs off that album that I didn't play was I'm the Slime. And,
oh, God.
Yeah. What a great, just bashing television like you know, don't touch that dial. And I have a video that I shot of Dweezil back in probably about 2007 at the Riviera Theater and Rapids Theater in Niagara Falls, New York, with Zappa plays Zappa doing I'm the Slime. And Sheila shined on that one. I'll mention once in a while Sheila Gonzalez, who plays with Dweezil. Just probably the most talented musician I've ever seen. This chick can play anything.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Unbelievable. And a sax player beyond belief, but everything she touches.
Oh. Yeah.
Everything.
So, yep.
So now we're going to go to probably my favorite of the silly songs. I'm not going to say much about this. Just listen to it. And if this isn't in your head for the rest of your life, something's wrong. In France.
Playing in a tent is paying the rent. If you put your civilian, it's a major event down in France. Hey, did you hear where that's located? Out there in France. Yeah. It's the first thing you hear is something like, and then it smells. Down in France. It does something. Listen. I say, the girls is all salty, and the boys is all sweet. I say, the food ain't too shabby, and they piss in the street. Down in France. It's that cold. Say, down in France. Now, you know what? I started walking, and it went, and then it said, down in France. Oh, yeah. Now, you won't believe this. They got the diseases like you ain't never seen. I said they got a mystery drug job. Turn your pee to green down in France. Ain't that something? Say down in France. So look, I saw the color. It looked just like it was. And then it turned. I was down in France. Oh, yes, it was. Listen. Look. They got some coffee. Eating right through the cup. And when you go, they make you stand up down in France. That's where it's located. I'm down in France. Now listen, I cocked out one time and then I heard it. And then I went, that was down in France. Now listen, if you're not careful, stick to your teeth. You smell like a native for a couple of weeks. I smelled it, it went way on down. And then it smelled like way on down. That was down in France. Smelling funny now. harmonica. Go on, spin it, son. Oh, you know. They're coming too, I think, yeah. We cannot wait till we go back. Get so excited when the poodles react in France. Rook. Down in France. I'm talking about Bow Wow. See, they ball. And then they kind of...
That song always makes me crack up. I fucking love that song.
And Ray White, just, oh my God. He just makes that song. You know, I was lucky, I feel, that, you know, probably about 2006, 2007, maybe earlier, that I saw Zappa play Zappa and he was singing with them. You know, and then his health went to hell, so. But, yeah. What was the other one we were talking about? That, well, you got another song coming up with him singing, right?
I don't think so. I think that's the only one I have of his.
Oh, that's right.
The one thing I do want to mention, there is a very, very oblique reference to Fleetwood Mac. You know what it is?
I didn't catch it.
Turn Your Peter Green. Who founded Fleetwood Mac?
Yeah.
Peter Green.
Perfect.
Yep.
I love it.
That song is just, I remember playing that for friends of mine at UPB. You were already gone by that point. And they just fucking cracked. That's off the Them and Russ album.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay, we're on to you now. And we're on to a song that I also played for people. We used to play this at the radio station, and there were people that just loved this tune. So go ahead, introduce this one.
It's a great Valentine's Day song.
Yes, it is.
Actually, this song and my next song are both off Shake Your Booty from 1979. And, you know, Carl, I really didn't pay that much attention to that album just because it seemed like it was too commercial. And
right.
I really, because of Zappa, when I saw them with Ray White, they did this song. And that just brought me right back to it. And this is Broken Hearts Are For Assholes.
Here we go.
Some of you might not agree. Probably likes a lot of misery. But think a while and you will see. Broken hearts are for assholes. Broken hearts are for assholes. Broken hearts are for assholes. What you gonna do? Cause you're an asshole. You think you're a lonely guy, and maybe you think you're too tough to cry, so you went to the grapes just to give it a try.
And Dag Mullenjot, the ugliest son of a bitch I've ever seen in my life,
was his name.
1, 2, 3, 4!
The whiskers sticking out from underneath of his pancake maker.
He was a beautiful lady.
Nearly drove you insane.
Let's talk about leather.
And so you kissed a little too.
Shepherd production. Sir Richard Pumpelo.
You sniff the reeking buns of angels.
The smell of a demented bread boffer.
And acted like it was cocaine.
My whole wheat loaf.
You were dazzled by the exciting new costume of Coco.
Well, then on Tuesday night, Caesar's back in town.
In a way you can't explain.
Facing off the old spar tag team
and
grudge match
you
with
were
Kona.
All with Michael.
179 pounds of Samoan dynamite. Volcanic hell.
But you came back on Sunday for the gong show.
Thursday, Tuesday.
But you
Friday.
Forgot what I was on. Cause you're an asshole, you're an asshole, that's right. You're an asshole, you're an asshole, yes, yes. You're an asshole, you're an asshole, that's right. You're an asshole, you're an asshole. You say you can't live with what you've been through. Well, ladies, you can be an asshole too. You might pretend you ain't got one on the bottom of you. But don't fool yourself, girl, it's looking at you. Don't fool yourself, girl, it's winking at you. Don't fool yourself, girl, it's blinking at you. That's why I say, I'm gonna ram it, ram it, ram it, ram it up your poop shoe. Ram it, ram it, ram it, ram it up your poop shoe. Ram it, ram it, ram it, ram it up your poop shoe.
Wristwatch, Crisco.
Ram it, ram it, ram it, ram it up your poop shoe. Don't fool yourself, girl, going right up your poop shoe. Don't fool yourself, girl, going right up your poop shoe. Don't fool yourself, girl, going right up your poop shoe. Don't fool yourself, girl, going right up your poop shoe. Don't fool yourself, girl, it's going right up your poop shoe. Don't fool yourself, girl, it's going right up.
So, yeah, I had to sing along.
Right up the poop shoot, buddy. This album, it's funny how controversial it was. And my next song, we'll talk about that a little bit. But like Bobby Brown was banned from airplay. And it was such a satirical, the whole album. It's like, I've been in you. Poked fun at Peter Frampton's, I'm in you. Funniest one about it was The Dancing Fool, which he's just slamming disco, actually became a disco hit. You know, it's just the irony of it.
Oh, yeah.
The way Frank wrote, you know, like people didn't realize he could be busting your balls and you're singing right along. Yeah, it was great. But yeah,
one of the great satirists of music, by far. By far.
Yeah. Yep.
So now we're going to move into something which I have to explain a little bit about. This is the Nancy and Mary music. And she wrote pieces where there's a term called aleatoric. And also there's a term where a piece of music, you can throw it up in the air and it has parts and it could be played in any order. Okay. And there's a word for that, which escapes me right now. But this was a piece that was improvised every time they played it. Every time they played it, it was different. This is during the 1970-71 tour. This is when Fluorescent Flo and Hetty from the Turtles were with the band, and you will hear them prominently in this. This is the longest piece I'm playing. It is the most experimental piece, but stick with it. And it's called the Nancy and Mary music, and I think you'll enjoy this. Hopefully, you won't want to strangle me at the end of it. So here we go. We'll be right back. And I got to say that the pianist on that, the best keyboard player he ever had, and that is the inimitable George Duke. And that is one hell of a solo.
Yep.
So this was the first time I think you had heard this, right? When you put it into the studio.
Well,
what do you think of
it? I wasn't familiar with it, and I couldn't remember if I had heard it before or not. You know, I mean, we only have about 80-some albums to choose from, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, no, it's quite a composition. I mean, it's just the I don't want to say. I mean, the between the talent in it, the George Duke, and just amazing.
You know, and the vocal, you know, scat singing and everything about it, the drumming.
Yeah.
That's Ainsley Dunbar on the drums. And God damn.
Yep. Yeah.
Seriously. You know, the one thing that is very true from listening to that track and almost any track is if you were a musician with Zappa, you earned it because you had to be on the top of your fucking game.
Oh, absolutely. Seriously. Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was no slouchiness in his band. He wouldn't put up with it. And another thing, I mean, you know, the true Zappa fans know it. He didn't put up with drugs at all or anything. I mean, you were a professional. It was just like going to work in an office with him. You know, you're coming in sober. You're performing at your peak level at all times. And, you know, that's why you see there's such a rotation, I believe. I don't know if it was because, you know, Zappa wasn't happy with somebody, what somebody did, or somebody couldn't stand all the pressure of being that good, you know, and being on top of your game that much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that
he wanted to go in different directions with different bands.
He wanted to stretch. Different sounds.
Right. And this is a lot different, you know, in terms of structure than the revised music for low-budget guitar and low-budget orchestra, because he's got different musicians who can deal with different timbres, different things that they can do. And he always wanted to stretch that way compositionally, too. So that's part of the reason also. Okay, so
definitely.
Let's go on to your next piece here.
Okay, I'm going back to Seek Your Beauty, which, of course, was the title of that album was a play on KC and the Sunshine Band's album, Shake Your Booty. So, you know, and of course, he had to cover him with the Arab headdress. This song got him in a lot of trouble. It was a lot of trouble. And it was pretty cool how he, I got to get back to where I saw that. But well, we'll talk about it after it. Okay. This is not the
Anti-Defamation League's favorite song. Let's just leave it at that.
Nah,
okay.
Yeah.
Nah,
okay. We'll talk about it after this. This is Jewish
Princess.
And this
is Jewish Princess for everyone that wants to know. Jewish Princess.
I want a nasty little Jewish princess,
la, la, la,
with long bony nails and a hairdo that rings. A horny little Jewish princess with a garlic aroma that could level to coma.
Shit about cooking and is arrogant looking, a vicious little Jewish. this time. I just want a princess to ride.
All right, back to the top. Everybody twist.
I want a funky little Jewish princess.
La, la, la.
A grinder, a bumper with a pre-moistened dumper. A brazen little Jewish princess.
Hi-yo.
With titanic tits and sandblasted zits.
She can even be cool. So long as she does it with four of the
sisters who can raise a few blisters. A fragile little Jewish princess.
Hi-yo!
With Romanian thighs, who weasels and lies
for two or three nights.
Won't someone send me a princess to buy? Won't someone send me a princess to buy?
As I said, not the ADL's favorite song, without a doubt.
Well, you know, when they came out and slammed him about that, he refused to apologize. His mm-hmm. quote was, "Unlike the unicorn, such creatures do exist and deserve to be commemorated with their own special opus."
Well, you know... He did this song, and then a year later, he did Catholic Girls.
Yeah.
And notice
yeah.
That the Catholic League of Decency didn't bother him at all.
No, they didn't. But, I mean, you know, I love the line, "Who squeaks when she comes." But that
actually, I like Paper Walk, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it shows the parody side of him, you know, and it's just, he wasn't making fun of Jewish people, just a specific little Jewish princess, you know, doesn't know shit about cooking, you know, but yeah, I had to throw that one in there. It's a good
absolutely.
Song.
Go ahead.
No, we're running short on time, so keep it moving, buddy.
Yeah, so what I wanted to say at this point is that we will be going into overtime with this next song, so bear with us. If you're listening live, just give it about 15, 20 minutes, or most of our people listen to this afterwards anyway, so they know to do that. So we will be going into overtime. Now, I'm going to go into a song from Weasel's Rip My Flesh. And we talk about, you know, there are songs that he did covers of, Whipping Post, and he does an incredible cover of Stairway to Heaven and that. And most of these have the Zappa flair to them, where you can tell he's sort of making fun. But there are certain songs and certain musicians that he had great respect for. And one of them was Richard Penniman. Richard Penniman, better known as Little Richard. And this is an early song from Little Richard called Directly From My Heart to You. It features a violin solo, not by Jean-Luc Ponty, but by Sugarcane Harris. And listen to this, and then I want your thoughts on this when we're done with this, TC. So we're going to go Directly From My Heart to You by Frank Zappa.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. You don't get much better than that.
You know, an interesting thing about that one is, like, that album, Ray Collins did a lot of the singing on it, but that was, how was his name? Sugar Mail.
Sugar Cane Harris.
Sugar Cane Harris, who also played the electric violin and who was a pioneer of the electric violin,
mm-hmm.
sang that song. And you know who played rhythm guitar on that?
Tell me.
Lowell George.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
that was Lowell.
Little Feet. Yep.
Yep. He was with
like
Zappa for half a tour, I think, and half an album. He wasn't with Zappa long.
No, he wasn't. But then again, we talked about how many people came and went, you know, and Lowell George, I was surprised to see he was on that album, you know, because, of course, his name was all Little Feet. But,
right.
They all kind of tie in together, though. So, yeah, that was incredible. That was incredible. And I don't know what else to say about it, my man.
But absolutely. To me, it's one of the best covers ever.
Yeah.
Seriously. And the thing I wanted to say is when he loved an artist or he loved a style like doo-wop, he could be very respectful of it. And that is, you know, that just shows you what he thinks of that particular song and of Little Richard. So there you go.
Yep.
So we've got a couple more to go. So go ahead, TC. Give us this one, which is a very famous one.
Yeah, and it's another one. It's my third one off Overnight Sensation, side two. And I'll have that whole side of the album covered with this one. And this one is about some interesting sex and who ends up with who. And this is Dynamo Hum.
Here we go.
I couldn't say where she's coming from, but I just met a lady named Dynamo Hum. She strolled on over, said, look here, bum, I got a $40 bill, say, you can't make me come. You just can't do it. She made a bet with her sister who's a little bit dumb. She could prove it any time, all men was dumb. I don't mind that she called me a bum, but I knew right away she was really gonna come. So I got down to it. I whipped off a bloomers and slipped in my thumb and applied rotation on a sugar plum. I poked and stroked till my wrist got numb, but I still didn't hear no Dynamo Hum. Dynamo Hum. Dynamo Hum, Dynamo Hum. Where's this Dynamo coming from? I done spent 3 hours and I ain't got a crumb from the Dynamo. Dynamo, Dynamo from the Dynamo Hum.
I would give her pulled on her hair, got her legs in the air, and asked if she had any cooties in there. She was buns up and kneeling. I was wheeling and dealing. She surrendered to the feeling, and she started into squealing. Dynamo watched from the edge of the bed, with her lips just a-twitching and her face gone red. Some drool rolling down from the edge of her chin, while she spied the condition her sister was in. She quivered and quaked and clutched at herself, while her sister made a joke about her mental health. Till Dynamo finally did give in, but I told her all she really needed was some discipline. Kiss my aura, Dora. It's real Angora. Would y'all like some more? Right here on the flora. And how about you, Fauna? You wanna? Sound like you're choking on something. Did you say you want some more? Well, here's some more. Oh, sure, but you think I could interest you in a pair of zircon-encrusted tweezers? Wait a minute, let me sterilize them. Give me your lighter.
I couldn't say where she's coming from, but I just met a lady named Dynamo Bomb. She scrolled on over, said, look here, Bomb, I got a $40 bill, say you can't make me come. Whipped off a bloomers and sniffing my thumb and applied rotation on a sugar plum. I poked and stroked till my wrist got numb, and you know I heard some dynamo hum. Some dynamo hum. Dynamo hum. Dynamo hum. Dynamo.
That is classic. That is just friggin' classic.
You know, we've been talking about musicians that played with Frank Zappa over the years, but I have to get a shout out to Ruth Underwood.
Oh, fuck yeah.
She was, yeah. I mean, you heard her all through the xylophone, all through there. And another thing I want to mention to everybody, if you haven't seen it, find it. 2016 documentary called Eat That Question, Frank Zappa in his own words. And it's wonderful. It's about as good a documentary as you can get. Hell, even Rotten Tomatoes gave it 92%. So, I mean, you know, you can't beat it. And Ruth really contributed to that, as did Dweezil. And it's just a great documentary. Eat That Question. Look it up, find it, watch it. But there you have it, Carl.
Absolutely. Now that song has a real connection to both of us. I don't know if you realize this. Do you remember when the radio station was locked down by Dean Kreger?
Yes, I do.
This was one of the songs that he absolutely lambasted the radio station was and went after me because I played this concert.
Well, it's not exactly family friendly.
It was a college. It was a goddamn cable. Nobody else heard it but the people on college.
I know.
Fuck Dean Kreger.
Nobody even across West Washington Street could hear it.
No.
So, you know, it was like, yeah. Censorship in its biggest form right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
and so that's what we fought against. And he specifically attacked me. And let me tell you something. You attack me, you're going to have some consequences, especially back then. Maybe not so much now. I'm too old for that shit.
And there's a lot of us that came in right after you, man. We're right behind. We're right with you on that. So
including a lot of the faculty too.
Sure.
Faculty. That's how we won. The faculty were behind us, and they allowed me to have lots of airtight alibis, which I needed. Trust me. Never mind. We're not going to go into that right now.
Yeah. Huh.
Now, one other thing as we start to really wrap this up, you've been mentioning Overnight Sensation. I wanted to get a shout out to another album that we have featured, which I think is the entry point for anyone who's interested in Zappa, even more so than Overnight Sensation. And that's One Size Fits All. You played Pajama
People. Yeah.
I played Evelyn, a modified dog, at the beginning. And we're going to finish this particular show, and we're going to say our goodbyes now, and this will be our outro, with Sofa number 2. Now, number 1 is instrumental. Number 2 has some lyrics, and you might find them a little interesting because more than half of them is in German. And he wanted to do this in German to really do a hat tip to all his German fans, and particularly his East German fans. And one thing about Zappa is he is considered a hero against oppression in the Eastern Bloc. That includes Czechoslovakia, his whole connection with Václav Havel, and also East Germany. Nina Hagen has mentioned how much Zappa meant to the Eastern Germans, and so on and so forth. So you know this piece. Do you want to say anything before we end up using this as the outro?
This is going to be your outro. This is going to be your outro, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just we've had fun tonight. This is great. I hope we turn some people on to Zappa. I hope we turn on some people to some deeper Zappa. We hope we piqued your curiosity to look into his, I mean, where to begin. He didn't mention the albums to start with, but boy, you can spend your lifetime listening to Zappa because there's so much material. And there's so much material that hasn't even been recorded or even published.
Or released.
You know.
But it's released.
Yeah.
Processed and released.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to our Zappa show. And Carl and I are back tomorrow night with another show. And it'll be my Rock This Town Radio at TC. And we're digging into some deeper into some people that you know. Like, well, you know one, but the other two, you know their songs. And tomorrow night on Rock This Town Radio with TC at 8 o'clock here on Deviant Legion Network, we're doing Louie. And that's Louis Armstrong, Louis Jordan, and Louis Prima. Originals of theirs, plus a cover or two of people covering them. So we're looking forward to that one, aren't we, Carl?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And one other thing I do want to say before we go to our outro is that tomorrow I'll do all of the house cleaning, housekeeping.
Yeah.
But the other thing is we could do so many of these. And if you've really enjoyed this program, let TC or I know, and we could do 10 of these and not repeat ourselves.
That's true.
Seriously.
And not only that, but if you have an artist that, you know, just you want to know more about or you think people should know more about, let us know. And
if
we're interested too, we'll do a show. We take suggestions, good or bad. The worst we can do is
good and bad. I don't mind bad music if it's enjoyable. So there you go.
Well, the funny thing is there's some bad music on the surface, but if you do a little scratching, there's some great stuff underneath. Like
absolutely.
You know, like I always use Toto as an example. You know, you got these songs, these lame songs that surfaced on the top 40, but holy fuck, do they got some good rockin' music buried underneath them. So I'm thinking Rosanna, that song Rosanna. I fucking hate it. But boy, there's so many good songs by them. But there's bands out there like that, you know, and they're not proud of it. You know, hey, but they're not going to bitch. You know, you got a song that all of a sudden ends up on the radio and you're making money off it. You're cool with it. But they're real fans
of
what the good stuff is underneath. So if you have any suggestions, please let us know. We'll see if we can throw a show together for you. Okay, Carl.
And
well,
so here we go. Absolutely. We'll see you tomorrow night. And here we go with our outro. And don't be surprised if you hear me singing. Okay, because I sing this song. I love this song.
All right.
So here we go.
Should I turn?
Good night, everyone, and this is Sofa Number 2.
Thanks for being here, folks.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, folks.